This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Keith Loing, President and CEO, Workforce Alliance of South Central Kansas. Welcome to Issues 2022, Keith.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure to sit down and chat with you.
Well, let's go back and do a little review now. What exactly is the Workforce Alliance?
We are the local workforce board that serves the greater Wichita area. We get employment and training resources primarily through the federal government, but other state and local funders as well. We help job seekers match up to career opportunities with area businesses. We help employers recruit. And we also can provide scholarship funding for folks who need to get a little training if they need to get in the workforce, and really try to target, you know, critical issues important to the community, whether it's helping young adults find employment or working with justice-involved individuals, or at a time that seems a long time ago when we have a lot of layoffs, we try to help those people get back in the workforce. But so that's certainly not a factor in our economy today.
So. Right. Work is what you do then. You're talking about it's all about work. What's the geographic area that you serve then, Keith, with the Workforce Alliance?
Basically, it's the Wichita metro area. I mean, we specifically our funding's defined by 6 counties, but jobs don't know borders that well. So we basically serve anybody who wants to work in the Wichita area, any employer in kind of our 10-county labor shed. So go far as north as McPherson, down south to the Oklahoma state border, and, you know, west out to Kingman, and, you know, east over to Butler County area. So
how and when did the Workforce Alliance get its start, Keith?
We became a 501c3 in year 2000, so we've been around a little over 20 years now. The programs previously had all been managed within the city of Wichita, and the decision was made to break them out and to create a new structure. Way back, a name from the past, Mayor Bob Knight was mayor of the city of Wichita at the time and thought a regional approach was more in order when it came to jobs and the economy. And so that's what created the Workforce Alliance.
And how, again, is the alliance funded?
Well, like I said, the federal government, there's a piece of legislation called the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, and that provides funding. So we operate offices, workforce centers. It helps for some of that, those kind of expenses. But we go after grant funding all the time, specialty projects. So it really it varies. We get some funding from the state on occasion for projects. We get funding from local governments on occasion, and we get funding from foundations and philanthropy organizations. When they, you know, especially targeting certain groups that they have an interest in. I mean, some groups are really focused on youth and how do we help youth achieve. And so if that's academics and careers, we step in and we have some resources that can help in that area. If it's working, again, with maybe justice-involved individuals, how do we help people that are coming out of the prison system? We do work. So we have funders who help us in projects around those areas.
So how long have you been with the Alliance then, Keith?
Oh, gosh. I have been working with them ever since the very beginning, but I have been on staff here since 2005. So I've seen a few different economic cycles during my tenure here.
Yep, I've seen a few over the past 50 years or so. Now, what did you do before you got involved with the Alliance then?
I was at Wichita State University. I was in what is now the Public Policy Management Center. It used to be called the Center for Urban Studies. But I was kind of a consultant working with local governments and community organizations, and that's what brought me to this assignment. I was doing some work for them, for the Workforce Alliance, when I was at Wichita State.
Is this your hometown?
Oh, yeah. East High graduate. I'm a fifth generation. My uncle still farms land down between Derby and Mulvane that my great-great-grandfather homesteaded back in 1870. So I got some deep roots here.
Wow, you do. You really do. Latest figures show Kansas unemployment rate at 2.4%, Wichita area MSA rate at 3.9%. You know, we like to celebrate low jobless rates because they mean people are working. But is there a downside to have that low unemployment rate?
Well, yeah, definitely. If at a time when you are running up to kind of economic expansion opportunities, business growth opportunities, and that's really what we're seeing right now, Steve. And the numbers you quoted, I mean, that's pretty typical. The Wichita area tends to run a point or two higher than the state average when it comes to unemployment, and it does get worse at times. Sometimes a recession or economic downturn hits harder in the Wichita area than other parts of the state. But right now, what we're seeing is that businesses have an opportunity to grow. The economy is expanding in a whole lot of different areas. Demand is going up, you know, consumer goods going up for services. I mean, you know, healthcare is still, we need healthcare. There's demand for that. Demand for manufacturing. We're seeing our local aviation industry, both general aviation at the Textron and then with Spirit at the commercial side of it, is expanding right now. And they need workers. So that low unemployment rate, that really is a challenge to them who want to increase their workforce, those businesses that want to, and there's just not a big pool to fish from right now.
That's the point, I guess. And when you talk about even a 3.9% unemployment rate, from what I've seen over the years, most people say, you know, that's pretty much almost full employment or very much very close to it, huh?
Yeah, it is. And the trend we've been seeing, and I've been hearing this from employers too, whether, you know, the candidates are coming in for interviews, they're employed. They already have jobs. They're looking for a better job. I mean, to me, this is the better job economy right now. You have a lot of passive job seekers. They're employed right now. You know, they're not back, you know, I'm still having scar tissue from 2009, 2010, when the challenge was long-term unemployed, you know, and coming out of that recession. And we had people who were, you know, very active job seekers applying for dozens of jobs a week, you know, some choosing to move out of the community because they had a better career opportunity, you know, maybe in Oklahoma City or Dallas. It's a lot different today. I mean, people are putting their profile on LinkedIn, and if there's a job out there that they may see, you know, on ZipRecruiter or Indeed or KansasWorks.com, they may be pursuing that job then. Mm. And so, people are looking for a better job than what they have, and employers that are wanting to grow right now, those are the folks they're seeing come in. They're seeing people that are already employed, and there's very few unemployed job seekers. So if you are unemployed, it does not take you long to find a job if you're actively searching. That's another a component that is much different where we're at now in this economy than what I've seen in past years.
Yeah, there seems to be a help wanted sign in virtually every restaurant in town. So we know we need some restaurant workers. What other businesses are really in need of help right now?
Well, I mentioned healthcare, and, you know, that was a particular industry that just really took a beating during the pandemic. You know, we went from celebrating our healthcare heroes to, in many instances, unfortunately, almost vilifying them as, and then I just think the challenges of working in that environment for some people. I mean, I don't criticize anybody who, you know, had to get out of that industry for personal reasons, for mental health reasons, but that it's going to take a while to rebuild the healthcare sector, whether it's nurses, whether it's nursing aides. They need pharmacy techs. They need echocardiograms. technologists. They need radiologists, you know. So that industry is huge right now in need. There's been, you know, with back to school, a lot of conversations. The teaching industry, that's another one of those employment sectors that kind of took a beating, and it's going to take a long time to recover. But a lot of teachers, you know, banked for some early retirement if they were close enough to it and got out, decided to get into other jobs. And so those are two in particular we've seen a lot of and heard from a lot recently.
How are you now? I think you brushed on this a moment ago, but we didn't use the exact words. But how are employers thinking differently after the Great Resignation, if the Great Resignation is over?
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if it's quite over. Maybe in the mass, it's not to the scale it was, but I think employers are much more focused on retaining their talent. They have to be. They have to know that those workers that they have, if they want to keep them, you're going to have to increase wages, and we've seen that across the board. You're going to have to think about this whole thing about work-life balance. You know, how are you structuring your environment, which you're asking people to come? Are you willing to do remote work? Are you willing to let employees do remote work? And we've seen a lot of change in just how I've seen a lot of change in the last 2 years in the way businesses think about how they practice human resource management internally. And when it comes to attracting workers, you know, again, I mentioned one of the industries we haven't really talked about that certainly is in need and got hit with COVID very hard was the hospitality industry. Whether it's the hotels that suddenly lost business just incredible amounts, restaurants, and you've seen those industries, what have they done? They've increased wages tremendously over the last 2 years. They are recruiting differently. They're recruiting much differently than they've done in the past, looking for workers more aggressively than they've done in past days. And again, going to the restaurant industry, I mean, you know, it's changed a lot. I mean, I order takeout and carry out a heck of a lot more than I used to, and the way it's done at a restaurant is much more efficient. They are geared up for that, to serve that customer that is just coming to pick up or do the curbside delivery. And so they've changed wages. They've changed working environments. So employers, I think, have been very aggressive at adapting to the economy and what's going on. And I would say those employers who are managing well, I think there's still some employers that they don't have the ability to raise wages and they're still struggling, or they have not seen the wisdom of maybe paying their workers more if they're still struggling to hire and retain their workers.
Will South Central Kansas be able to attract enough new bodies to fill so many job openings?
Yeah, it's been an ongoing challenge. That was a challenge before COVID, certainly, you know, and I go back and think, you know, what the environment was like in late 2019. And we had way more open jobs and we needed more skilled workers than we had available in our market. And so, you know, I credit some of our community leaders, the Greater Wichita Partnership. I think the innovation at Wichita State University and about how they're trying to attract students to come into Wichita State. I think those are fantastic strategies. But yeah, we're not a community like Dallas or Nashville or Denver that just have a constant inflow of new people moving here. And so we need to, I think, up our game on attracting folks to move into the region, but also work really hard for those people already living here to make sure that we can connect them to the best career opportunities possible. But it is going to be an ongoing challenge, Steve, in our area to get the number of people coming in here to support business and industry to the potential that we have.
You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Keith Lawing, President and CEO, Workforce Alliance of South Central Kansas. The city and county government have responded to worker shortages by boosting wages. When is it too late, when the workers have already settled in Kansas City and Tulsa?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be ever too late. I think we're just playing catch up. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Maybe you wish, you know, I look at my budget and I'm thinking, you know, because I'm having the same, I'm an employer too, Steve, and we attract workers and we need talent in our organization. And we've had to increase wages and we've had positions that we haven't been able to fill because I don't think our wages were competitive. So certainly the city and the county recognizing that, you know, but they're behind a little bit because other communities communities were a step ahead. Other businesses have been a step ahead on that. But it's one of the reasons we're seeing. I mean, I'm not an economist, but you know, from my perspective, when we talk about the inflation that we're seeing, I mean, I think wages have been kept down artificially, in a way. I maybe that's the wrong term, but I think the power dynamic has changed over the last 20 years and 10 years in particular, where employers had a lot of the power. They were able to get workers maybe to accept lower wages or increased benefits. And then I think what the pandemic showed a lot of people is that the wage thing needs to catch up. I mean, you know, we've long talked about minimum wage being $7.25 an hour. Well, the market left that a long time ago. There's very few jobs these days. You know, our fast food jobs, which always had been minimum wage jobs, those jobs are paying $12 an hour, way, way north of minimum wage. And so I just think it's where the market's going. And whether you're, you know, local government, whether you're a business, if you increase your wages, that money's got to come from somewhere. You got to offset it. You increase prices. You got to grow a budget. You know, and that's the challenge the economy's facing right now. You know, we need more workers. Workers want more wages, and then we all still want to buy stuff, and we want to get it the best price possible.
Attracting a lot of attention in the news media recently has been the shortage, a huge shortage of detention officers at the Sedgwick County Jail, but the county commission came back, and what did they do? They raised the wages there, right?
Yeah. Well, and those are hard jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, those are, think about it. I mean, think about the environment you're working in. Think about the stress, you know. I mean, so I think those people deserve a pretty good paycheck. I mean, you know, and I go back to the whole situation with COVID, and I go to wages, where we recognize suddenly our delivery driver was an essential worker. And it's like, well, if you're an essential worker, how much are you paying me? You know, if you're, and so I think that's part of what the market's responding to. We recognize we've undervalued certain jobs and professions, I think, historically, and we need to take a second look at those. I definitely would like to see, you know, the best talent possible taking those jobs and you know, guarding our public safety. We need very skilled people to do that, and they need to be paid for it.
Well, I say there are always openings for the IT people, the computer geeks, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and that's an area, a growth area that we are seeing, certainly here in the Wichita market, that we want to take advantage of. You know, we've had companies like NovaCoast, which is a cybersecurity company. And when you think about cybersecurity, it's, you know, again, we've taken that for granted, I think, for a long time. But now that technology is so ubiquitous and we're all paying for stuff with our debit cards and credit cards, and, you know, we have medical records that we need privacy, high levels of privacy, you know, financial institutions. And so we need more cybersecurity specialists. That just is a growing industry. And yeah, so if anybody who has some technical skills, computer skills, there's a lot of career opportunities in this market right now.
But do we have enough carpenters, plumbers, auto mechanics?
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, there's also a grain of the workforce, too. I mean, I'm certainly in my generation, you know, coming off the baby boomers and the Gen Xers, there's just fewer people kind of behind us in a way. So we're still dealing with some demographic issues, but there's a lot of folks that are close to retirement, and we need to be backfilling some of those careers. I definitely have talked to my folks, friends at the electrical apprenticeship programs, the plumbers and pipe fitters, and they need more talent to come into becoming apprenticeships, become those trades workers that, you know, when you need a plumber, man, you need a plumber. You better, you know, you want to have somebody showing up. And if you need some electricity work done, you need somebody who knows what they're doing to take care of that stuff. And yeah, we're going to continue to see growth in those trade skills, and we need people to help fill those jobs.
The trade skills, you mentioned that, and I'm just thinking, that's where people actually have to work. They have to physically do something, and we need them. We always need those folks.
Yeah, and you can't work remotely in that situation.
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't have the option. And that is something that, again, you go back to, you know, people want work-life balance. People want wages to compensate them for, and it's understandable that they have those demands. And we need to value those kind of jobs. You can't sit behind a computer, and even though technology is great, you need to get dirty every once in a while. You need to put your hands on something to get things done. And those are the men and women who do it.
Are the local high schools and colleges aware of local labor challenges? And if so, what are they doing about it, Keith?
Oh, yeah. I really commend the leaders in our education system here, certainly in South Central Kansas. You know, folks like Dr. Mooma at Wichita State, Dr. Thompson. They get it, and they're talking the language about career readiness, workforce development, thinking about how education aligns with business growth. I mean, we want everyone to have a well-rounded education and understand what it is to be a good citizen, but how do you combine that with the skills? But the other school districts around here, too, I mean, Goddard and Mays continue to really, I think, do a great job on focusing on those areas. Our community and technical colleges are certainly right there, but I would also point to, you know, some of our private institutions, Newman and Friends. They do a great job of thinking about that adult learner, that transitioning worker, maybe somebody who's in their 20s or 30s and needs to get into a different career. So there's lots of good infrastructure when it comes to education, Steve, in this community that will help people if you need to transition or update your skill set, or just frankly, just make sure you're in the right degree path to get onto the best career option available.
You know, I saw some fairly alarming figures the other day on child care in Kansas. Ooh. There's something to think about.
Yeah, and that is one of the issues that's really consuming so much of my time lately, because it is a barrier to on both sides. It's a barrier for a lot of job seekers. You know, women were certainly heavily impacted with the pandemic and trying to get women back in the workforce. Keeping them in the workforce, access to child care. We know, we talk about low-wage jobs. We were just talking about that, Steve. We have not placed the high enough value on child care that we should as a society. I mean, I think we view it more as babysitting than early childhood education. And really, child care needs to be that early childhood education, and those people are doing, those are essential workers. And it's hard to attract people into those fields when the wages are so low. Well, again, if you increase wages, what do? You make the cost of childcare greater. So, you know, there are people who are paying, I mean, I saw a statistic, a young couple was saying their cost of childcare was equivalent to what it would cost to put one of their children through college.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And that's unsustainable. I mean, like I said, I'm working on issues, try to bring employers into this to, you know, to help on the solution. Are there things employers can do differently? One thing I want to mention is the legislature expanded the child care tax credit for businesses that can step in and help their workers with child care. We're really going to be promoting that and making sure businesses understand that's an option. I don't know if enough businesses realize that the legislature gave them that tool last year, and that could really help a lot of businesses get workers into their shops and into their operations by helping them helping their workers support childcare.
We're running out of time, but could you give us a brief look at what is Road Trip Nation?
Oh, hey, well, you mentioned the schools, and this is a great partnership about trying to inspire young people into thinking about their futures and their careers and overcoming challenges. Road Trip Nation is a not-for-profit organization that comes into a community and highlights some stories and getting young people to take a career journey and and listen to stories of other people about how they achieved their successes in life. We've got a great partnership with USD 259 and Wichita State University. We're going to actually do a road trip. We're going to have three young people on a big motor home tooling around South Central Kansas here this fall. We've got over 20 applicants for that. We're screening them right now. And this will be a one-hour documentary next year on PBS. And the content from the documentary and the content that these young people are going to create for us on this road trip, we're going to be taking this into the classroom. We're going to be telling these stories, helping inspire young people, and connecting them to the great jobs here in South Central Kansas.
You have lived in this community all of your life, and you've seen the aircraft plants, the cycles up and down and so forth. Have you ever experienced being unemployed and looking for a job?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, and I've had really some crappy jobs in my life, too. I've been on the other side of that interview, really wanting a job and then not getting the call back or getting the letter saying, you didn't get this job. I've worked outside in 100-degree heat. I did some landscaping in my day. I've waited tables. I've stocked shelves. It's part of the experiences that we take. Everyone's career journey and career pathway is different and unique. I'm happy to be where I am, and I'm very blessed that I can continue. I like the job I have, Steve, because it helps me give back to the community that I really love, and that community it's been home for me.
Well, I always have a good time when I talk to you because you know so much and you share so well. And thank you for being with us, Keith, as always. We'll check with you again in a few months, see how we're doing on this thing, okay?
Sounds great, Steve. Always enjoy chatting with you, and keep up the good work. So,
our guest is Keith Lawing, President, CEO, Workforce Alliance of South Central Kansas. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.